Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. Today we're diving into the world of cybersecurity.
It's a critical topic these days, that's for sure. Not just about protecting data anymore.
Right, it's everything. It really is the foundation of our digital lives now.
Couldn't agree more. And that's what makes this document we're looking at today so relevant.
Oh yeah, what have we got?
002 CRIS Domain 7 Section 2.pdf. It outlines some of the real-world strategies used every single day to combat cyber threats.
Real-world stuff. I like it. Gets right to the point. So, Section 1, understanding the fundamentals, intrusions, and defensive measures.
The fundamentals are key.
Absolutely. Okay, picture this. You're at a packed concert.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
The band's about to start. Everyone's hyped.
Yeah.
Suddenly, you see someone trying to sneak past security.
No.
No ticket, no shame.
That is a great analogy for an intrusion, actually. Trying to get into a system, get that data without authorization. And just like at that concert, you've got security guards, right? Well, organizations have intrusion detection systems, IDSs, or intrusion prevention systems.
Yeah.
IPSs.
So it's like a layered approach. You got security guards, A&D, you've got the ticket checkers.
Precisely.
And these IDS and IPSs, they're like the first line of defense, constantly on the lookout for anything suspicious.
Exactly. But when something happens, how do organizations react in real time?
Yeah, that's the critical moment.
That's where SIEMs come in. Security Information and Event Management Systems.
SIEMs.
SIEMs. Think of it like a high-tech command center. Instead of generals, you've got analysts monitoring a massive screen.
Okay.
And the SIEM, the system, is pulling in data from everywhere. Firewalls, servers, applications, everything.
Wow, so it's like the central nervous system for cybersecurity.
You got it.
Yeah.
But, you know, a command center is only as good as the people making the decisions, right?
That's true with everything, the human element.
You need skilled analysts to interpret that data, to connect the dots. You'd be surprised. Sometimes a seemingly minor alert.
Like what?
Something like a login from an unusual location at an odd hour. Could be nothing or on.
Or it could be the first sign of a major breach.
Exactly. I remember early in my career, we had this one alert. It seemed so insignificant at first.
What happened?
It ended up being a really sophisticated phishing attack aimed at a high-level executive. But because we had that robust SIEM system in place and a sharp analyst who knew what to look for,
you caught it.
We stopped it before any sensitive information was compromised.
Wow, that just shows you, even with all the technology in the world,
you need the human expertise.
It all comes back to that. So SIEMs, clearly critical, but also incredibly complex.
That's fair.
What's with all this aggregation, normalization, correlation stuff?
It's a lot. Imagine you're trying to solve a puzzle, but the pieces are scattered everywhere, and some are even written in different languages. That's what a SIEM does. It gathers all these security logs and events.
Okay.
Puts them in a common language, that's the normalization part, and then tries to find the connections between them, correlation, to reveal the bigger picture.
Okay, so it's like piecing together clues in a digital detective story.
Right.
But how do they even begin to make sense of all that data?
Well, that's where aggregation comes in. The SIEM doesn't just dump all of this information on analysts at once. It aggregates, or groups, similar events and data points together so analysts can quickly identify those patterns, anomalies.
So it's really about identifying those red flags early on.
Yes.
But then what? What happens next? This is where it gets really interesting, right?
This is where it gets even more interesting, and that's where we'll pick up next time. With a deeper look at SOAR, Security Orchestration, Automation, and Response.
Ooh. SOR. Sounds intriguing. Can't wait to dig into that. Okay, listeners, you heard it here first. We're about to take this deep dive to the next level. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
All right, so before the break, we were really getting into the nitty-gritty of SIEMs, those cybersecurity command centers. But you left us hanging with that cliffhanger, SOR.
Ah, yes. So, security orchestration, automation, and response. See, a SIEM is fantastic at collecting, analyzing data, but it doesn't actually do anything about the threats it uncovers.
That's where SOAR comes in. It takes those alerts from the SIEM and helps automate the response.
So it's like having, what, pre-programmed responses for different security events. So if the SIEM sees something suspicious happening, SOAR can just automatically take action.
Exactly. Let's say your SIEM detects a phishing attack in progress. SOAR can automatically start blocking those malicious emails, quarantine any accounts that might be affected, even start tracing that attack back to its source.
Wow.
All without a human analyst having to even lift a finger.
That's incredible. It's like having a whole team of security experts working around the clock, but it's automated.
That's the beauty of it. It frees up those human analysts to focus on the really complex stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The things that need that human intuition, human expertise, threat hunting, incident response.
Right.
But, you know, even with Asim, even with SAR, that's really just the beginning. Our source material, this 002 CRISPO Domain 7 Section 2.pdf, it really emphasizes this continuous monitoring.
Yeah, because it's not a set it and forget it kind of deal, is it? The threat landscape is constantly changing. New vulnerabilities pop up all the time.
All the time. New threats emerging every day. It's like, imagine training a team of athletes. You wouldn't just train them once and then expect them to go out and win championships year after year.
Right.
They need that ongoing coaching, the practice, the feedback, to really stay at the top of their game.
Okay, I like that analogy. So how does continuous monitoring actually work in practice?
Our source material, it outlines a six-step process, a cyclical process, which is key here.
Cyclical.
It's define, establish, implement, analyze, respond, review.
Okay, so break that down a little bit.
So first, you've got to define your objectives. What are you trying to protect? What are your biggest threats? Then establish your monitoring infrastructure. What tools, what procedures are you going to use? Then, of course, you got to implement them.
Right.
And then continuously analyze that data you're collecting. If there's an incident, you respond accordingly, and then review the whole process to see what worked, what could be improved. Always learning, always adapting.
It's that feedback loop that's so crucial.
Exactly. And a big part of that analyze phase.log analysis.
Okay, log analysis. So, like, digging through all those digital trails that every user, every system leaves behind.
Precisely. Every action taken on a network, it gets recorded in logs. Every login attempt, every file accessed, every email sent. Log analysis is about making sense of all that data, connecting the dots, looking for those patterns, those subtle anomalies that might just point to a threat.
It's like those crime dramas, right? They're analyzing phone records, piecing together someone's movements.
Exactly. A single log entry might not tell you much on its own, but when you start correlating events across multiple systems, across time, you start to see the bigger picture. Let's say you see a user downloading a huge amount of data at 3:00 a.m. Maybe not that unusual on its own, right?
Yeah.
But what if that same user, just minutes before, accessed a sensitive database for the first time ever?
Okay.
And what if their login location shows they're suddenly in a different country?
Mm.
Now you've got a pattern.
Something worth investigating.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about intrusions, right? People trying to get IN. But what about data getting OUT? Egress monitoring, right?
Egress monitoring. All about controlling the flow of data leaving your network.
Uh-huh.
Imagine setting up a customs checkpoint, but for all data leaving your organization.
Okay.
So if someone tries to, I don't know, sneak out a flash drive full of sensitive information.
Yeah, out the back door.
Egress monitoring should be there to catch it. It's about setting those rules, those policies, for what data can leave, when, and who it can go to.
So it's like a security guard checking your bag on the way out of a museum, making sure you're not walking away with any priceless artifacts.
Exactly. And attackers, they're becoming more creative. Data loss prevention techniques, DLP, are becoming essential. These technologies can actually identify sensitive data. Think credit card numbers, intellectual property, things like that.
Okay.
And then block any unauthorized attempts to send it outside the network.
So it's like, what, a super sniffer dog at that customs checkpoint able to sniff out even the most cleverly hidden contraband?
Love the analogy. But even DLP isn't foolproof. Attackers are always finding new ways to get around those security measures. One method that we see a lot is steganography.
Steganography, that's a good one. It's like hiding in plain sight, right?
Exactly.
It's like hiding a secret message in an image file.
You got it. It's like digital camouflage for data. And while it can be used for perfectly legitimate purposes, it's also a favorite tool for cybercriminals to try and sneak that stolen data past these security checkpoints. Mm. So that's why organizations are using specialized steganography detection tools. They analyze those files, no matter how well disguised, and try to uncover any hidden messages.
It's a constant arms race, isn't it? Always one step ahead. The security experts build the walls higher, and the attackers just find craftier ways to tunnel through them.
It really is. It makes you think of those old spy movies.
It does.
Which, speaking of spies, brings us to another critical aspect of cybersecurity. Threat intelligence. Knowing your enemy.
Ooh, yes. Tell us more. So, threat intelligence, knowing your enemy. How do organizations actually get that intel?
It's a process, a combination of things, really. There's open source intelligence, things like keeping an eye on hacker forums, monitoring malware campaigns, staying up to date on the latest vulnerabilities that are being exploited, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But then there's also closed source intelligence. This is stuff that comes from security vendors, government agencies, organizations that have dedicated teams who are tracking these threats.
So it's like having this global network of informants feeding you information about what's happening.
In a way, yeah.
And what do organizations actually do with all this intelligence?
Well, they use it to anticipate, to try and get ahead of those threats, mitigate them before they even happen.
Proactive.
Exactly. It's about understanding the tactics, the techniques these attackers are using, and then strengthening their defenses accordingly.
And I'm guessing this is where the cyber kill chain comes in?
Absolutely.
We touched on it earlier, but I think now is a good time to really kind of dive in a little deeper.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
So the cyber kill chain, it was developed by Lockheed Martin, and it breaks down a cyber attack into 7 stages: reconnaissance, weaponization, delivery, exploitation, installation, command and control, and then finally, actions on objectives.
7 stages, okay.
And by understanding each of these stages, organizations can then start to identify their own weaknesses and build better defenses to address them.
So it's like a playbook in a way. You can anticipate the attacker's moves.
Yes, exactly.
So, like, let's take reconnaissance, for example.
Yeah.
What actually happens during that phase?
So reconnaissance, this is all about gathering information. Think of it like, you know, casing a bank before robbing it.
Okay.
The attackers, they might be scanning your website, looking for vulnerabilities, maybe searching for employee information online, even trying to gain access through phishing emails.
Yeah.
Just to see what they're dealing with.
So if organizations can recognize those signs that reconnaissance happening early on,
they might be able to stop that attack before it even really gets started.
Wow.
And that's the power of that cyber kill chain framework. It gives you that roadmap for understanding how attackers think and how to disrupt them.
It's amazing how much strategy goes into this. It really is like a chess match, isn't it?
It really is. Both sides constantly trying to outmaneuver each other.
And we've talked a lot about these external threats, hackers, you know, outside the organization trying to break in. But what about the threats that come from inside an organization? The insider threat.
Ah, yes. The insider threat, that's a whole other ballgame.
That's where it gets really tricky, because how do you even begin to address that?
Well, this is where user and entity behavior analytics comes in. We call it UEBA.
UEBA.
So most security tools, they focus on those known threats, those known vulnerabilities. UEBA, it's about understanding what's normal behavior within an organization and then identifying anything that deviates from that norm.
Because it's like having, what, a security camera that's not just recording what people are doing, but also analyzing their behavior to see if anything is out of character.
Perfect analogy. So, for example, let's say you have an employee and they normally only ever access marketing documents. But suddenly, they're downloading huge amounts of financial data in the middle of the night.
Red flag.
Exactly. Or imagine a user's account and it's exhibiting unusual activity. Maybe they're logging in from multiple locations at the same time or accessing systems they've never even touched before. These are things that might indicate something's up.
It's like in real life, right? When you notice someone's acting out of character, might not be anything nefarious, but it's worth at least a second look. But how do you even teach a system what normal is in the first place?
That's the thing with UEBA. It learns over time. It builds up this baseline of normal behavior for every user, every entity on that network, just by analyzing all the historical data. And then it's constantly looking for those anomalies. Anything that deviates from the baseline, it flags it for the security team so they can investigate.
Wow, so that's like having a digital detective constantly on the lookout.
Pretty much.
That's amazing. But this is incredibly complex stuff. I mean, what kind of expertise goes into building and managing these systems?
Well, you've got your security analysts, of course.
Yeah.
They're monitoring the alerts. They're investigating incidents, responding to threats as they happen. Then you've got security engineers. They're the architects. They build these security systems.
Okay.
Configuring firewalls, implementing intrusion detection systems, setting up those SIEM and SOAR platforms, the whole nine yards.
Right. It takes a team.
And then you have your security researchers who are constantly probing for those new vulnerabilities, developing new techniques, trying to stay one step ahead of the bad guys. It's a whole ecosystem of people.
working together.
Absolutely. And it's not just technical skills either. It's that communication, that collaboration. It's all critical.
Right, because you could have the most sophisticated security systems in the world, but if someone leaves their password on a sticky note,
exactly,
or falls for a phishing scam,
it's all for nothing. It's about layers. You need the technology, you need the people, and the processes to make it all work.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, from the front lines, intrusion detection, all the way to the nuances of user behavior analysis. And it's clear, cybersecurity, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. It's this multifaceted, always evolving field.
Oh, evolving.
That requires vigilance, adaptability, a real deep understanding of both the technical and human elements.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And you know, if there's one thing I hope our listeners take away from this deep dive, it's that staying informed is key. The more you know about the latest threats, the mitigation strategies, the better equipped you'll be to navigate this digital world safely, securely.
Couldn't agree more. So dear listener, as you go about your digital day, remember the lessons we've talked about. Cybersecurity, it's not just about protecting data. It's about protecting our interconnected world, ensuring a safer, more resilient digital future for everyone. Until next time, stay curious, stay vigilant, and stay secure.